shovelware.
That's what it is.
I prefer to call it Tupperware. Hello? Hello? Hello?
Yeah. Hello? Hello?
Right, I'm putting up the new BCG Storytellers. Guy in a cardboard box hooked up another great one with the Metal Gear Solid.
I'm gonna try that one day. That's a pretty good recipe.
What?
Take a pizza crust, a pizza dough.
Pizza dough.
Bake it, cut it open, put a deep fried hot dog with some potatoes and onion.
Oh, great. Googly moogly.
It's going to be good.
That's just for fat people.
And it's delicious.
Oh no, I'm a fat person.
That's what Johnny C do. That's what Johnny C do.
Get money. Johnny get money.
Toasty.
Almost done. Oh. Off the
Sonic Hurricane.
We got all kind of shit to cover today.
No, like what?
Not all kind of shit, but we have to say. Okay, we have to announce the winner of the contest winners for Stella King did a Dark Souls competition thing. So we got to announce the winner of that, and then I figured we could read some of the entries. And then we also have to, the winner of the last video game theater contest. But we did get a couple entries, so we have to announce the winner to that. Yeah. And then we should just talk about random news and random greatness that has occurred around the industry.
Not much of nothing, but okay.
And then we have to do a new video game theater. Wait, I forgot. What am I supposed to say? Put it in the chat. Put what you say and then put what I say. Just put it in the chat.
It's gonna be kind of stupid if we don't have the music for it. Well, I think the music will give it away. Yeah, it really will suck it out. The music is what makes it. But I think at the same time, music wouldn't hurt it.
You don't think so?
I mean, I don't know. I think it would just be, it'd sound really dumb without the music. It'd sound less dumb with the music, because it'd be more,
So what you're saying is that this is not going to work.
If we don't have the music, I don't think it's going to work. Cause it's going to suck.
Dang it. Then what are you going to do?
Let me think. Give me a second. I'm doing my dialysis. We got time. I can't get to the keyboard anyways, so it gave me time to think while I do my dialysis. Let's see. Sonic Hawken.
You guys can skip all this if you want, if you're listening. You can just skip all this here.
Oh yeah, I gotta get the wish name up so we get wish name's questions in. D-Sonic.
Yes, Mr. Sonic.
Turn my PS3 on here so we can get that up and going.
You're back on the Twitter?
Huh?
So you're back on the Twitter?
No. PlayStation 3.
Oh, I sent it to you on the 3.
If anybody's getting in contact with me, if you got a Wii or a PS3, I'm always on there.
Dun, 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 dun.
didn't. I don't know if I cook in the day, but. Sonic Hurricane. Let's see what we got here.
Almost done here. Stupid thing didn't want to do what it was supposed to do. I'm assuming it's probably my fault. Just don't know what I did wrong.
True.
1:14:05.
Like boom.
File size is 254 megabytes. I have no idea how many invites.
Ni No Kuni, Wrath of the White Witch.
I'm gonna get that one of these days. I'm almost finished with this stupid Far Cry game.
No, it was weird. No, okay. Now, this makes sense to you.
What?
Okay. Ni No Kuni, right?
Mm-hmm.
They said, based off of what you got in the collector's edition, was all dependent on how many people were going to pre-order it, right?
Right.
So this one guy said he wanted to get his, but they sold out of them.
Say that one more time.
The people that made Ni No Kuni. Never was it? Who made it? Who made that game? Namco Bandai, whoever the hell made it?
Bandai, level game. 5.
whoever made the game. I guess the stipulations were, depending on how many people pre-ordered it, would determine what came in the collector's edition.
Mm-hmm.
So there's this one guy who said, well, when he went on there to pre-order his, it said they sold out of the collector's edition, which is weird because wouldn't it based on how many pre-orders of the collector's edition you got?
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Was going to determine the actual what people get. So if you had an actual limit to how much you was going to give us, that doesn't make any sense.
I see what you're saying. Yeah, so there shouldn't have been a limit if you had a fucking, if it's based off of the fucking pre. I don't know. Maybe they. Oh shit, I don't know.
Because he said,
did he try it too late? Had they reached past the pre-order limit and they had already maybe printed up so many?
No, what he said, well, okay, that's what he said. He said he had to cancel his order.
Mm-hmm.
He had to give somebody some money. He said he got the money back, went on there, and, you know, they were still taking things for it. He said it wasn't past the deadline. It was only like a week or so later.
Mm-hmm.
And when he put the information in, it said it was, they sold out, which was funny, too, because he said there were a lot of other people that if you had placed an order with them, and it was behind certain other people on the list, you didn't get yours, you just got a refund. So apparently they only had a certain number of these made up, which kind of makes me believe that whatever people got in these, they were going to get irregardless.
They're just trying maybe to sell. They had like, okay, they had, all right, maybe they had like 100 things for pre-order, right? And if 20 people pre-ordered it, you would get 25% of the stuff. If 40% pre-ordered, you get, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But they still had a order limit. So if all the people, if all the pre-orders were filled, then maybe that increased the amount of stuff that those pre-orders could, things that the people could get in those pre-orders. You know what I'm saying? Still kind of sucky, but.
Yeah, because especially if you order it directly from the website, and so you figure they would just make them as people order them, and you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And just like, okay, well, he ordered this, make it make one, or just print another one out, but...
Yeah,
oh well, I mean, it sucks for him, but...
Okay. Sucks for you, sir!
That's why I really don't care about collector's editions that much, because most of the time, it ain't really worth nothing. You get really stupid stuff.
Yeah, I mean, that's for people, like, if you're an art lover, you like game art and stuff like that, where you get the books and all that shit, or, you know, game music and shit, then, you know, it can be worth it, but I'm not really that much into those type of things so much.
They said a Skyrim one was it Skyrim? I think they were saying it was a Skyrim one. People were pissed off about that one.
Why?
Like 200-something. Was it $200 for the? It was a really cruddy butt statue, like really, really really bad statue.
Did you see everybody got mad over the new Dead Island game? Their little bonus that you get?
No, it was theirs.
It was like a torso of a woman's torso. Like a bikini. And everybody was told, oh, that's disgusting. Oh, that's sexist and blah, blah, blah.
Oh,
like, it's a fucking zombie game. Like, what the fuck?
It was the women, wasn't it?
It was everybody. It was fucking everybody. You know what it is? Men is getting so fucking soft and bitchy. Like, there's this thing now where in order to be, like, respectful to women, you have to be all soft and bitchy, too.
Hell no.
It's horrible. So, motherfuckers crying about it. It's just, you know, it was the dumbest. It's a zombie game. Zombie games are gory and nasty. So, what the fuck did you expect?
Didn't a little girl die in the trailer of that game anyway?
It's like, what the fuck?
Should it be outraged about that? Oh my god, a little girl. Ugh. Can't stand people anymore, I'm telling you. I don't know. You know what? The whole world is getting soft. Men are soft. Women are soft.
Hold on. Tweeting out the new... What should we call it?
Well, why people are soft nowadays?
The new BCG Storytellers on Metal Gear.
Oh, Metal Gear!
Part 1 tweeted. It has so been tweeted. Man, we didn't even end up paying. We went to the Highcon. We didn't even end up actually paying.
Metal Gear!
We just walked around the freaking... Well, we were in the building, but we just kind of was walking around the downstairs lobby. Like, we didn't go into the part where you can actually buy... just shit. Like, you know, you couldn't buy any stuff. Like, we didn't go to that section. Like, you know, we went to the Comic-Con and you go in and you could buy all the comic books and stuff.
Yeah.
We didn't do, like, that part of it. We were just kind of outside in the lobby at the bar and walking around taking video and pictures and shit. And we got some video we're going to put up on the site, too. It's pretty cool. Let me bring this mic a little bit closer now. So, since we're going to officially get ready to start the house show. Ha ha ha, this house show.
Damn it.
My mouse fell. But, that was, I mean, costume-wise, I didn't think it was as good as last year. But it was still pretty cool. Man, we ran into the saddest Sephiroth. It was so sad.
What do you mean, like, sad looking, like it's a terrible outfit? Or
no, his outfit was great. I have a picture of him. It's on the site. His outfit was great.
Why
but I think he was Lonely Sephiroth is what happened.
Lonely Sephiroth.
Yeah, and like he was talking to us, like we was taking a picture of him, and he started talking to us. And the meanwhile, like I ignored him, like you know we talked and you know about our convention and you know asked him had he been around and stuff like that. And then he walked away. He was like, "All right, well, it was nice talking to you." It was like cool. And then we was walking away, and Alana was like, "I think he's lonely. I think he's sad." And I was getting ready to ask him if he wanted to hang out with us, but he was already gone by then, so.
He should have been like, you know what? He probably missed Genova, his mother.
That could have been it.
Genova!
That could have been it. But Redfield and her folks came down. They were all super cool, man. They were some cool guys. They were real fun. So, it was good. It was good, though. We saved $35. Oh, I guess you can say we saved $35. I think I still would have liked to have gone inside, but... And I was thinking about going back on Sunday for the $10 day. Uh-huh. But, man, we were there. I think we got there at, like, maybe 2 o'clock. And we didn't leave until about, it had to be about 8 or so. 8 or 9-ish. So, we were there for a long fucking time, man. It was ridiculous. But there are some pictures up on the site if you want to see a couple of cosplayers. And we got some video coming. That should be done shortly, hopefully sometime this week, and that'll be up on the site too. BattleClubGaming.com. Let's see, hold on a minute. Okay. This is BattleClubGaming.com. Wait. Damn it. I feel like I'm supposed to be doing something here. What am I supposed to be doing? Do we need like an intro music?
I don't know. How long have we been? I'll get started. I think we're like 20 years deep anyways.
No. I want intro music.
Intro music it is.
How dare you, Yayizzle. How dare you. Let's see. What's a good intro music? Let's look on this thing. Let's find some good ones. Why are you always trying to stop me from having intro music, Yaya, Malika Malk?
I got all types of intro music I could send you, sir.
Here we go. Here goes some intro music. Yeah, start doing something, you buster. Find some music or something. Here we go.
I'm tired of carrying the show. Let's go.
God damn it, hater. Big Willie. Get on the floor.
Simulating sensual acts to stimulate musical tracks. I thought I was just gonna come out the night and get a brew and relax. But no, when you the party starter, it's like you on call, you want the doctor order. It's like you gotta block the border to the door and shock them when it's boring. Get on the floor! It's the groove, a side bomber. Might get my vest tight, strapped to my chest like I'ma run up in the party hall and be like, oh, fulfilling my calling. Writing rhymes, that's my game. Ask me again and I'll tell you the same. Look, just write your number right next to your name, girl.
Oh, I'm the party starter. You might have a good time, but we party hard as soul. Tell the DJ to play my song and we can dance all night to the early morning. Oh, I'm the party starter. You might have a good time, but we party hard as soul. Tell the DJ to play my song and we can dance all night to the early.
Get the party started, Boop Podcast!
Woo! That was alright. I think mine's better.
Oh, fuck. You didn't even have nothing. You can't say yours is better if you didn't have nothing.
Excuse me?
Asshole.
Excuse me?
Yeah, that's right.
You are being disrespectful.
That's right.
And wrong. And probably more racist. I'm going to go there.
That's right. Called you a butthole. Mr. Butthole McGee. Sir. Let's see. Let's get through some quick stuff we have to get done real quick. Video game theater, and the winner is Mr. MC Fall Skater Austin Brody. Mr. Austin Brody. And he had the right answer. It was Final Fantasy Tactics: The War of the Lions. So, good job, sir, and thank you for everybody that participated. Mr. Austin Brody sent me a email from your email with your address to it, and we'll get you out some cool decals from Mr. At Mogot Game. Now, he hooked up for us. So, Austin Brody, you are the winner of the video game theater. And we got another one today, I think. Depending on if Yayizzle got his shit together.
All right.
Bitch. We got to do one more thing. And you can help with this one. So what you need to do is go to BattleClubGaming.com. Hold on. On your computer. Big Will, that's my name. Writing rhymes, that's my game. So, Mr.
Alright, how am I doing?
Mr. Derek Got 007 was asking for some more ill rhymes, so maybe we'll have to put together another track and you'll actually have to be on it instead of being a little bitch.
It's not going to happen. Let's go.
I don't want to okay, go to the Dark Souls 2 press release Battle Club Gaming Souls competition.
Oh, here it is.
Yes, and then the what they had to do was basically write in the notes information, like what was their biggest gaming challenge? Like what were they playing? And it was like, fuck this shit, or man, I gotta beat this shit, or whatever it is, okay? So, biggest gaming challenge. We can either pick a random select, or we can just pick the one that we like the most.
Let's go. He's gonna read them out?
Yeah, should we start from the top and work our way down?
All right, let's go. I'll read the first one.
All right, go.
Here we go. Ready? Staccato. Laugh out loud. Next.
You asshole. Mr. John McClane. Sitting through the Metal Gear Solid 4 ending without falling asleep. Now I just run it back whenever I'm having trouble sleeping. Knocks me out every time. He
Oh,
lair.
That is...
He lair.
Hateful. D Sonic X. Dragon Quest VIII was a slog... But I did that eventually. But then trying to beat the game... Wait a minute, what? Hold on.
Somebody can read.
I sure can, hold on. Let me highlight here. There we go, that makes it better. The hell? Dragon Quest VIII was a slog. Was he sounding from, what, Britain or something? I never heard that. But I did that eventually.
He is one of our Euro brothers, though. He is one of our Euro brothers. I don't know exactly from where, but...
I've never heard about you slog. Beaten after the game, boss 10 times, getting harder each time, was nigh on impossible. Made... They have to not read this. Words. Look, DeSonic, love you, man. Come on. Excuse English.
He's using the Queen's English, sir.
Not the Queen's English. It's used English. The I.
Are you going to finish this post?
I did. That was it. Wasn't it? Yeah, that was it.
Wait, what did you say?
Wait a minute, was that it?
No, you just stopped at the time was nigh.
No, I didn't. On Impossible. Made it number 6 before I called it quits.
Oh, okay. And this is from CGSJ4, like 5 years ago, trying to beat Zeus during the final boss of God of War 2 on Titan difficulty. After a full day of trying, I couldn't do it. Haven't tried it since.
Oh.
You got bested by God of War, sir. How dare you?
You have just lost all respect.
Yeah, your respect has been lost, sir.
Next. Dark Lurker 23. Battletoads. Enough said. You played the Battletoads yet?
I have played the old Battletoads. I played that all the time. It's hard. It's very hard.
That game is brutal. That is all. I swear I must have hit load state over 1,000. This will be times. I'm going to read just like it is. I'm going to read just like it is. But you don't proofread what you write. And I got to embarrass you over 1,000 ties. Playing Impossible. But more recently, probably Call of Duty... World at War veteran that was a S.O.B. a sob. And Mega Man 10, Mr. Perfect was annoying. Now that was bull. Mega Man 10 one.
Mr. Perfect, what's that?
You gotta play the whole game and beat it without getting hit once.
And that's like, I wonder if anybody's ever actually got that. I'm sure somebody has, but.
Mega Man's hard enough as it is, but geez.
Right. That takes a considerable amount of memory, you know? Considerable. This is from AustyB7. My hardest video game challenge was beating Sonic the Hedgehog 2. What the fuck? Are you serious?
Whoa.
God damn it.
Wait, let me see this.
God damn it, AustyB. Sonic 2.
Oh, I'm
I recently started playing it when I saw Xbox had an Ultimate Sega Collection out, and it proved to be extremely difficult for me. Eventually, though, I toughed it out and was able to finally beat the game.
Is he being an asshole?
Yeah, I don't know what the fuck he's being right there. It must be some kind of inside joke or something. It has to be. Yes, you got the big one. Go.
Oh, god damn it. Okay, highlight here. This one's from... Lucio? Is that how I say? Lucio?
We'll give it a little bit of accent. Lucio.
All right, I'm going to give it some sexy accent. Lucio.
You got to read it like Antonio Banderas.
I can't read it. You want to do this one as Antonio?
And okay, I'll take fine, next two? Fine. Okay.
Hello, my name is Antonio Banderas, and I shall read the post by El Lucio. My toughest video game challenge must have been choosing which race I should play in Skyrim, and then spending hours making my character look good, I have to say. I spent an hour doing this in Oblivion, but for Skyrim, 2 hours. I had constantly grabbed someone and asked them if my character looked like myself. Everyone had a hard time with me because it's hard comparing a human to a cat.
Wait,
okay.
So I ended up having my cat fill in the role of my Khajiit. Long story short, I got revenge on my Khajiit by making him a werewolf. I am Antonio Banderas, and this is a post by El Lucio.
Hold on, so this toughing gaming moment was picking between a human and a cat. Is that what I'm getting here?
No, his toughest gaming moment was making his cat character look like him.
Oh, God.
And dealing with the ridicule of all his friends and family as they tried to put him in therapy.
We have the worst community ever.
I can't call it. Okay, next. All
right, this one is from Cot. Or Coat. Or Cot.
Could it be Coot?
Or Coot.
Cot.
Or Coat.
Cot.
My hardest challenge in recent years was no doubt getting platinum on Vanquish. Never heard of that game.
That
last challenge trophy to complete challenge number 6 was so difficult it took me over 2 months. Wow, that's not bad. And a broken controller before I was barely able to squeeze my way out the challenge and make it alive for the final trophy. The satisfaction was immense.
Now Vanquish. Actually, you might like that. You should get the demo. I'm pretty sure they had a demo.
Sounds familiar.
It's kind of like a robot-y mech-y guy who like zooms around the stage shooting shit. It was actually pretty fun. If I could find that at a decent price, I'd probably get it to play. Pretty interesting game. It was good. The next one is by King's Minion. My hardest challenge was to figure out how to play Kingsfield, the Ancient City on PS2. After dying a lot in the first minutes of the game, I gived up all the time.
Okay, you know what's up.
Shut up. Look, sir.
Proof. I write terrible English, too.
Yes, but you do.
Before I type something out and send it, proofread it because we're going to read it just like it is. On the comments.
Fuck that shit.
I'm just playing with people.
But then tried again and saw the game is not so hard, and if you play smart, you almost don't die. So he reached back in the past on that one. All right. And the last one.
You sure?
Yeah.
We got two here. Should I just read them both off?
No. The second one is just about the contest. The first one is his submission entry.
And the next one, CGamer48, or... Gamer.
Wait. Hey, C Gamer, I beat you for T-Pisser of the Year, bitch. Boom!
Ooh. You want to take that, Gamer 48?
I don't even know if he was nominated for that, bitch. I forgot. But anyways, go ahead.
All right, so Gamer 48. I think my hardest challenge in recent years is gaming was beating Dead Space 2 on Zlot. I guess that's it. So Zlot difficulty. Beat the game with only 3 saves. Ooh. I didn't really grow up with some systems like NES, SNES, Sega Saturn, then you grew up in a terrible time, sir.
Terrible household. That is child abuse.
Your parents should be ridiculed.
Making him read books and shit.
Oh, this hurts me. Or the older systems. You disrespectful. I really played...
Wait. Those aren't old systems?
So it's older than... Are we talking about Atari and...
You want to talk about an Atari, a Calico? What the fuck?
Master System? I really played Nintendo 64 and everything onward, I guess. So that's my hardest gaming challenge.
Cool.
And the quote underneath is, well, I've never played either games, but will be willing to play them if I win. Which games are you talking about, Gamer?
Obviously, he's talking about the games you could win. If you're the winner of this competition, you win a copy of Demon Souls and Dark Souls, courtesy of the main man, Stella King! Stella King! So what we're going to have to do... All right, now we need to choose a winner. Do we choose a winner based off of which one we liked, or do we choose a winner based off of random selection?
Some of these were kind of funny. I don't know. What do you think? You think all these are good enough?
I think so. I mean, you know, not everybody's toughest challenge would be things that we would find tough. I mean, you know, I've seen some people play Sonic the Hedgehog, and they're just not good at it. They're just not good. He could just be one of those people.
I'm very disappointed in that one.
Sonic could have been... You know, this is what I want you to do. I want you to play Sonic 2. I want you to report back the next episode. We're going to both play it.
What?
And we're going to find out if it was really as hard as Mr. Austy B. 7 says it is.
You must not have any hands.
This is the Sonic 2 challenge. Challenge accepted, Austy.
I get on that. That's fine. That'd be fine. I'm going to play it on my computer with a keyboard. That's how I'm...
Okay, first of all, thief, okay?
Like, all right, let's go. Oh, man.
We'll do a random select winner.
All right, you can do that.
So, let's see. Hold on.
There is 1, 2, 3. There's 10 people, I think.
9.
9, okay, 9.
Because yeah, I had a...
Forgot, you wrote laugh out loud. It doesn't count. Okay, they got 9 people.
9, okay. We'll start from the oldest. The first entry will be entry 1, and then it goes up from there. So the random winner, okay, whoever is six is our winner. Who is comment number 6?
1, 2, 3, a 4, a 5, 6 is. Oh, Antonio Banderas.
Oh, Mr. Antonio Banderas Lucio, you are the winner of the contest. So you get a copy of Demon Souls and Dark Souls, Mr. Lucio. We will contact you by email to let you know that you are the winner, sir. Wait, I could do that right now. But while we're doing this, while I'm contacting Mr. Lucio, wait, let's learn something about Mr. Lucio. Mr. Lucio says, fighting for the TV to play Star Ocean for the PS3. Me. No, you have a TV in your room. Don't let me beat myself Ornette in a chess game so I could become the galactic champion that has no meaningful action in the game whatsoever. What?
Wait, what are you reading? What's going on here?
I clicked onto his profile. Reading from his profile. Yes. But what we'll do is, let me see if I can get in contact with Mr. Lucio. Here we go. Send Mr. Lucio a message. That's right, Mr. Lucio.
All that is a Lucio. You gotta be your friend with your profile.
But anyways, while we're doing this, tell us about your adventures.
Whoa, wait a minute, wait, whoa. Since when do we have a female in our midst?
Huh?
Since we have a female on our website, that's unacceptable. Women don't play games. Supposed to be in the
what?
You heard me. The women don't play games, supposed to be in the kitchen cooking dinner.
No, you're not. You're not kidding.
What adventures?
We know you're not kidding, you son of
what
a
adventures?
Bitch. I'm
sorry, Black Cape? Blake Cape? Blake, oh, whatever.
We're gonna be launching soon, and we supposed to have already been working on it, just haven't got a chance to. The first Battle Club Gaming Tournament in Battlefield 3. It'll be a squad deathmatch tournament. I'm supposed to be getting together with Mr. Poppy, Mr. Dust Poppy, to help me out. with it, to help me put, you know, because he knows a lot about the game. So, you know what I'm saying? He can help me put it together right where everybody is fair and, you know, it's not going to be based off of no bullshit. So, we'll be doing that. And also, we've talked to Mr. Poppy about doing a God of War BCG storyteller. So, I got to get with Poppy on all of that. My homie, the big homie, Poppy, Papatopoulos. What up? Shout outs. Yeah. Battlefield 3, the BZTP podcast. So let's get into some shit, man.
Whoa.
Video games. Video games are supposed to be fun, right?
Apparently.
When you see the trailer for a game and you see something cool happen, then it puts you in this impression that you'll be doing something pretty fun, right?
Hopefully, yes.
Okay. Now, last year at E3, there were, you know, there was a couple of, you know, there was multiple games that looked fairly fun, would you say?
Yeah, there were some. Yeah, there were a few in there. Okay, yeah.
Do you remember seeing Far Cry 3 at E3?
Yeah, actually, I remember the demo for that, yeah.
And was there anything that happened during that demo that made you think, man, this is going to be fun?
I'm trying to think. Let's see what happened during that demo. Not really. I can't. I'm not going
to. Interesting, interesting.
I mean, I don't play shooters like that anyway. So they're. I mean, you know, maybe they really played the main villain like with some sort of psychotic type survival horror. That's what made it look kind of interesting to me.
Thank you. Thank you. The main villain, very crazy guy, giving his speech on repetition, doing things over and over and over. The meaning of insanity, as you would say. And then there was a part where the guy controlling the character shot open a cage and a lion came out and started mauling everybody. I'm like, oh, that's pretty cool, you know. So Far Cry 3 comes out. I'm very excited for this game, and I've talked about it before. I'll start playing the game. It's not that great. But here's the thing. It's not a bad game by any means. It's just with all the things in the game, It's just there's something about it that just doesn't grab. I don't know if it's the character, the main character. I don't know if it's the fact that, like, okay, I'll give it to you like that. Okay, the story of the game is there's a bunch of little preppy white kids and shit out on some island having fun, skydiving and shit. They all end up getting kidnapped. And basically, it's your main character's job. You escape, and you have to save all your friends and shit. And essentially, it's kind of a story of his character going from just being this, like, suburban prep kid into, like, a full-fledged warrior. You know what I mean? And that part of it is kind of cool because you can kind of see his personality getting more chiseled and shit as you go along. And that's interesting. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Until the point where, you know, and this is spoiler, so if you haven't played this game, you haven't beat it or whatever, so you're going to kind of get into some spoilers. But not too deep. But it kind of comes to the point where, you know, you get to a certain point where essentially he's just ready to abandon his old life and just fully go into this world of being like a warrior and shit. You know what I'm saying? That part of it is, you know, that's kind of cool and shit. You know what I mean? It's interesting, you know. But just the game itself, like the characters that you have to save, like you just get this idea like they're just a bunch of, like you said, just like fuck butt prep kids. So it really doesn't mean anything to you as a player wanting to save them. Now, as the character, obviously, these are your friends. You want to go save them. But just as the player playing this character, like, I could really have given two shits if this guy had, you know, if these people had died or not. You know what I mean?
Right.
And then, interestingly enough, I have more fun doing the majority of the random shit in the game to me is stupid. It's no fun. Like, get in this car and drive it to this location in a certain amount of time. Fuck that shit, okay? I had more fun hunting and making shit than doing anything else in this game. Like, I literally could have just sat around hunting pigs and sheep and deer and shit all day with my bow and arrow. And climbing the towers to get new weapons and shit. But I don't really care about the new fucking weapons. I've been using the same weapons the whole fucking game. And then, I'm like at the end of the game, I have not used any of my skill points. So, like, you get the skill points, and it unlocks all your different skills on different skill trees. You know what I'm saying? Kind of like anything with skill points. You know Borderlands, you get your various skill trees. Very much like Borderlands. You get your different skill type tree types, and then you unlock things in those skill types. I'm playing the game on hard or whatever, and I'm going through, and I have not used any of those points at all. So the difficulty sucks. But then there are these certain parts where the difficulty is ramped up to annoying, but still beatable even without using it. I've never been in a situation yet where I've been like, fuck, I need to go on the menu and upgrade my character. It's not necessary. Which is whack. And I wonder if I'll get a trophy for it. But all in all, I mean, Far Cry is not a bad game. I wouldn't tell anybody not to buy it. And obviously, I'm still playing it and I'm going to beat it. But I don't know. And then there was an interesting thing that was brought up. And give me your thoughts on this, Yaizel.
Go.
I was listening to the CADcast, Cheap Ass Gamer podcast, and one of the hosts, Wombat, was talking about it. And I won't say that he called the game racist, because on Twitter he says, or the last show he was saying he didn't say the game was racist. But he brought up an interesting point about why is it that you have this whole island of like native, you know, dark skinned people or whatever, and they're all being oppressed by these drug dealers and shit, and none of them can seem to do anything about it. But this random white kid from the suburbs can kind of come in and like fix all their problems. Like the typical great white hope type of situation. You know what I mean?
Yeah. All video games are. It really is. Literally. Like, it's not new. I don't think it's racist. It's just nothing new.
It's true. And you know, when we talked about this before, like I said, I won't call it racist either, but it's just how things are when it constantly comes from the mind state of other people making the games other than, like, if you want to see black people in the games perceived correctly, you need to get some black people making games. It's not to say that a white person or an Asian person couldn't portray a black person positively, because they have. I mean, I liked Saw's character. You know what I'm saying? What was wrong with Saw's other than the afro and the chocobo? What was wrong with Saw's?
Okay, where are we going? Okay, let's go. Let's talk about the piece of fried chicken in his afro. Then, God. Let's talk about... Okay, it would happen in Final Fantasy 13 too. It ended up being Chocolina. What was Chocolina? White. What was that saying? Black people sell out.
Oh, God.
I'm going to bed.
Great. Good night. Googly.
I said it.
Anyways.
Why couldn't Chocolina be black? You know what I'm talking about, D-Sonic? If you're listening, you know what I'm talking about.
And there was another game I was playing recently with what game was it? Oh, the Metal Gear Solid Rising, the new game, Revengeance, whatever the fuck it's called. And, you know, they have the black character in there. And it's not like they were attempting to make a black character type of shit. You know what I'm saying? And that's the best thing to do. But being able to have a character from your perspective as a black person writing a black character, it can give you interesting insight and stuff that you may not get from somebody else writing that type of character. But back to the point. As the simple fact of the matter is, and this is another thing that Wombat was saying, it would have been more interesting if this game was about one of those local people rising up to get this tribal power in order to defeat these people taking over their island and essentially using their island for slavery and drug trade. Like, would that have made it a more interesting game or a more interesting storyline? And I kind of think that it would have. It would have made it way more personal. You know, it's like, you ever seen Tears of the Sun?
Tears of who?
Tears of the Sun. It's a movie.
Nah. I don't watch movies a lot. So,
no. Fuck face.
I really don't.
Basically, it's Bruce Willis, and he's in the military, and him and his unit have to go and extract this doctor because there's a bunch of people going around and killing up Africans. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, one of his partners, one of his people in his unit, you know, there's a couple black dudes in his unit and shit. And then when you go and they see the atrocities in the situation, both of them, Bruce Willis and the other guy, is kind of like, this is some fucked up shit. We got to do something about this, even though they're not supposed to. You know what I'm saying? But it's a little bit different from the perspective of the black character. It's a little bit, there's a certain look on his face like, fuck, these are my people. You know, this is some fucked up shit. You know what I'm saying? And so to have that in the game where you approach a village and you're this character, like, this is your community, these are your people, and they're dead. You know what I mean? And nobody's doing anything about it. So you want to ride it. It creates a whole different, I don't know. But it's not a bad game. It offers a lot of great stuff. To me, all that great stuff just didn't pan out to be great, I guess. But anyways, next, go, sir.
Is that it?
I got all kind of shit, but you go.
I go ahead.
No, go.
We're going to go back and forth?
Go ahead, let's do that.
We're going to go back and forth?
Do that.
Is it my turn?
It's your turn.
Okay. Recently is... Oh, I started the Legend of Zelda Twilight Princess, which is, it's good, it's fun. Best Zelda by far, no. I don't think they had the classic controller out when this game was released, obviously. So, because it was like, when it launched title with the Wii, because it was also for the GameCube, so I think it was or something like that.
What were we talking about?
Twilight Princess for the Wii.
I want to say it was
out for the GameCube, and then it crossed over to the Wii too.
Yeah.
So it does. It's not compatible with the classic controller, which kind of sucks. So you got to use the Wiimote and all that. But it, you know what? It works good with the Wiimote.
Mm-hmm.
It's not terrible. It functions great. Story's good so far. The music's really good. It's a lot darker, a lot more adult oriented, which I do like it. For that.
Really?
Yes. It is very, very, very dark game so far what I've been playing. It's a lot more adult than I thought it was going to be.
How so? Like, what would make this more adult than your other Zelda games?
I know every Zelda has, like, its dark undertones, but this one doesn't try to hide them so much. Like, everything that's going on is relevant. It's out there. It's in the open. I don't want to spoil it. I know it's an old game, but
spoil this shit. If they ain't played it yet.
Okay, for me, for example, I'm like still kind of in the beginning of it right now. But let's see, like Hyrule just getting taken over, and that happens at the very beginning of the game, mind you. This isn't something that takes on later on in the game.
Mm-hmm.
So Hyrule's already fucked from the very beginning of the game. And I haven't seen if Ganon shows up yet, so I'm kind of waiting to see if he has anything to do with it, which I doubt. It's just a really kind of... You gotta play it to understand, like, it just feels darker than most Zelda games. It doesn't have that... Especially when you're in the Twilight Realm,
mm-hmm.
The music there is just eerie as hell. It's just like, this is a Zelda game? this game is... And then the little Twilight monsters and stuff,
mm-hmm.
really just demonic looking, and it's a good game. It's really good. So I just hope it, you know, carries on throughout the game. It doesn't get too boring.
Yeah, that's a little bit, because I did kind of want to play the Zeldas, because, you know, I kind of really gave up on Zelda a little bit, but especially the newer one. If I could get the newer one at a really good price, I think I would play it and play through that. Even though some people gave it hate, but a lot of people are saying it was the best Zelda game ever. But anyways, go ahead. I'm tired. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, that's it. That's all. What?
Then so yes, I think it's gonna be really, really good. I'm gonna sit down one weekend, probably gonna be this weekend. I'm gonna really dig into it and just try to push through and see how far I can get, because Zelda's one of them games you gotta really sit down and be committed to it.
Yeah.
You gotta like dig your you gotta dig your feet in and say, I'm gonna play this game, because a lot of traveling. And okay, while we're on that, the what's the game called? Skyward Sword.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, now I'm not sure if this is true or not. I don't know if anybody can correct me on this. People were saying they were having a problem with it being not open world. It wasn't. You know how, like, in any Zelda game, you can go wherever you wanted to at any point in the game?
Mm-hmm.
It's just up to you how you wanted to do things.
Mm-hmm.
But it was still a story-driven game. Like, you had to go to point A to point B, but it just felt open. They were complaining that this game kind of got rid of that aspect. And it just go to point A to point B to point A to point B.
So they
back to C
you.
To point A. Yeah, kind of like what they did with 13. Except for there is no open area at all.
Okay, even... Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying, go ahead. I'm just saying.
Even more than Final Fantasy, Zelda's open worldness is complete and utter bullshit. Okay? Because there's nothing... Okay, at least in Final Fantasy, if you're roaming the land, you fight shit, you get level up and stuff. You know what I'm saying? Zelda's not like that. You know, you find shit, like you find hearts and stuff that are in set points and all this shit. So, like, the open worldness of it, just, it's not really important to me. It's just, that's all. Go ahead. Continue. Continue. I'm tired of these fuck... just, you know, these god... You know, go ahead. Go ahead.
That's it. That's all I've been doing. Well, it's your turn now. What game are you playing next?
Man. Oh, man. Okay, so we know now that THQ has gone bankrupt. Everybody's been talking about it and shit. All the different assets have been sold off and stuff. And we don't really got to talk too much about that. I mean, it's fucked up. I hope everybody finds jobs somewhere else and stuff. I thought THQ had some pretty cool franchises. But one of the things I had always talked about wanting to buy was Darksiders 2. I never really got around to getting it. But I think I am going to get it now. I am definitely going to get it now. Based off of playing Darksiders 1. As you know, it was free on PlayStation Plus. So I picked it up. I've been playing through it. It's actually a really good game. And I don't know if I haven't got far enough into it, but the whole Zelda comparison thing is just bullshit to me right now. Like, haven't actually played the game, it just seems bullshit. Like, I don't get the Zelda comparison at fucking all. Like, oh my god, there's dungeons you go to, so it's Zelda clone. No, man, that's some dumb shit. There's nothing Zelda about this game. You know what I mean? That was a dumb comparison. And bullshit comparison. And I think a disrespectful comparison to the people making the game, you know. But it's a good game. I mean, the combat is not. I could see it maybe getting repetitive, but at the same time, I haven't really gotten so deep into it that I've been able to upgrade my character that much. So, you know, I think after being able to upgrade my character, maybe getting new combat moves and maneuvers and stuff, that'll keep it a little bit fresh until I get to the end of the game. I like the storyline. You know, kind of you're one of the four horsemen, and you're trying to prove that you didn't cause the apocalypse and shit. And the characters, like this one little guy who's kind of attached to you, this little creepy motherfucker, he's freaking cool. I like his little jackassy character. I don't know, man. It's a really cool game. It's a fun game. And it would be worth the... Having played it, it would be worth the purchase of buying the game. You know, if it was, you know, $10, $20 game, it would definitely be worth the purchase now. You know what I'm saying? But this makes me... I will buy having played this game, when I beat it, Darksider 2 is officially back on my list of one of the games I want to buy and play. So after I beat this, Far Cry, and I beat White Knight Chronicles 2, it'll probably be Ni No Kuni, and I don't think there's anything else other than Ni No Kuni that I'm necessarily looking at, so then it'll probably be Darksiders 2. Hmm. But it's a good game. It's worth worth a play. It's definitely worth a play.
I may have to play that game. I keep thinking about buying that game. I'm thinking about it's going to be on my to-do list after I get done. So I have quite a big to-do list now. Jesus Christ.
What's on your to-do list?
Too much. See, I got a Zelda. Then I got to get some Tatsunoko versus Capcom in there. Then I got to get a little bit of, let's see. Then I got to get, let's see. What game was I playing right now? They still need to be Deus Ex Human Revolution. I got to get that game beat. Oh, boy.
Deus Ex Human Revolution.
Was that the last story? Is that the one I got? I think it was the last story. Let me check. Let me double check here. The one I just bought. Oh, and I bought some new games, too. I forgot. I can see Mad World. I got to play. People say that was a really good game.
Oh, yeah. That's the... Okay. Yes. I'm familiar with this.
Yeah, the last story, which was Everybody Partner Operation Rainfall. So I did get the first. I'm working on Xenoblade, and then I'm going to get Pandora's Tower when that drops.
What the fuck is Pandora's Tower?
It's the third. It's the third RPG in the trilogy that we're waiting for.
Is it any good? Does it look like... I've never heard of this.
Looks good. I like the story. It seems really interesting for me. It's like a dungeon crawler. It's timed-based, but... The way that they justify the time in the actual game is that the lady, the woman that you're with, you have a thing for her, I guess, romantically.
Mm-hmm.
So she has some sort of curse, and the curse is transforming her into some sort of monster demon. And in order for you to lift the curse, you have to feed her flesh.
Ew.
You have to feed her the flesh of these monsters in these towers or something, like six towers or something, and they lift the curse. From what I understand, though, is that as the meter goes down, you can give her meat and then put the meter back up, and it kind of keep her humanity up. And people say it doesn't really, the time limit doesn't hurt the game any. It just kind of makes you rush through it, and it kind of just makes you aware that you don't have forever to figure everything out. So it looks like it's going to be a really good. I've already invested in last story. I'm getting Xenoblade because people were talking about the game of the year. That game has got some great scores, and I might as well finish off the trilogy and get Pandora's Tower, and that'll be it for the Wii for a while. There's of course other games I'm going to get for the Wii, but those are the main three to hold me over for the Wii for now. Then I'll move on to the Wii U. Monster Hunter's coming out in March, but we'll get to that later.
So, dude, this we're on Nintendo. Did you get to check out the Nintendo press conference thing they did?
I did.
What'd you think? You're the Nintendo guy. You got the Wii U. Now, the one thing I will say that I found interesting about it was basically them admitting, you know, well, not admitting, but saying basically they're sorry because there hasn't been any Nintendo games out this first part of the year and stuff. But as far as what you saw that is coming, what did you think?
Oh, gosh. If they would have showed this through E3, they would have smoked everybody. They would have destroyed Sony, Microsoft, Ubisoft, all. Nobody would have held a stick to Nintendo if they would have just showed us what they showed us during this little, I guess we'll call it press conference or something. I mean... I like what they're doing with the Wind Waker. Them changing it up. I guess supposed to be more, I don't know, open world is how they wanted to explain it. Like the dungeons aren't going to be so enclosed. I don't know how they were trying to explain it to us. But okay, you know how you, like I guess on like the Legend of Zelda and stuff,
mm-hmm.
when you go into like the dungeons and it's kind of doors, beat monster, get key, open up door and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I think what they're going to do is kind of just expand on that, but make it more open, the dungeons. You know what I'm saying? People know what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying.
So what you're saying is it'll be...
It's hard to explain. Trying to think of a game to compare it to.
So instead of like putting these little squares, sections, it'll just be like one maybe big area?
Maybe, yeah. It seems like that's what they're going to go with. It seems like it's gonna, like I think there's still going to be certain areas you can't go to that you may need keys for and stuff. But then they're just going to open it up a lot more. Because like even on Twilight Princess, it's segmented. Everything is segmented. All the dungeons are segmented. You got door, area, door. You know what I mean? I think they're going to try to get rid of a lot of the doors. You just have a lot more area.
So it'll be more kind of like, you know, not in comparison, but, you know, like, okay, in Uncharted, you go into an area and you might have a puzzle and then you can look around and you see everything in the area and then you figure out how to solve that puzzle using everything in the area.
Yeah, I think that's how they're going to do it.
Kind of like
obviously,
that.
I think that's what they're going to do with it, which sounds interesting.
So instead of having to go, so like say instead of, okay, you're in square A, you have to go to square C to get a bomb, to go to square D to blow a wall, to go to F and do blah, blah, blah to get a key. You'll walk into a room. It'll be a wide open area. You'll see a sack of bombs there, a wall that needs to be destroyed there, a key there, there's a door there to the bad guy, there's some fire there, there's a rope there, there's a Goomba over there, and there's a Yoshi.
Yes, yes, don't forget the midgets.
I get that. I may play that Zelda game. Did they say anything about Metroid?
I don't remember anything about Metroid. I know they were talking about the new Mario, I think.
Yeah, I know they talked about a new Mario.
I don't remember them saying anything about Metroid. Let me check. Hold on.
And then a Xenoblade sequel, which I haven't played it, so I can't say if I'm excited about that or not.
No, did you see that? Oh.
I did not see it. I still have to watch it.
Sweet.
Wait, maybe I need to bring that up right now.
Oh, man. I'll tell you what. It looked like Monster Hunter had sex with Lost Planet and then Xenoblade from the Wii walked in and saw him making love and jumped in on it. And they had a freaky threesome and then had this baby.
Let's see. Xenoblade. Oh, shit. Wow. Loudness. Cut down. Not so loud.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. It's Young here with another news update from Nintendo Direct. This time for...
Damn it, all I want to see is a trailer. I don't care about your fucking talking. Interesting. The game looks really nice.
It looks beautiful.
It really, yeah. It looks nice. Wow.
That's gonna be a straight day one buy for me.
Interesting. I like that kind of combination of swords and guns. Kind of cool. Now, as an RPG fan, this could make me buy a Wii U.
That's a Wii U seller.
That's pretty cool there. That's pretty cool. You Mario. That looks pretty freaking cool. You know, the only thing that would still... Oh, and they showed the new Yoshi. You know, they have the Kirby Epic Yarn, and now they have Yoshi's version of Epic Yarn.
Yeah, everybody was saying that. Like, who did not see... That game looked really close to Kirby's Epic Yarn. Like, seriously?
Well, that's what it is.
Yeah, everyone's like, well, no, it kind of looks like it. No, it looks like it.
I think I was assuming that it was supposed to be, like, purposely in that same realm.
Only retards thought otherwise. That's, yeah, it is. I saw it is.
Yeah, I thought this was kind of like their, we have a Kirby yarn game. Let's do a Yoshi one like that. And this is the way of kind of bringing back their, you know, I won't say second-class mascots, but, you know, the non-Mario characters. This is a cool way to bring them back.
Yoshi's Island.
But no, that looks cool. But you know, the only thing that bothers me a little bit about that is then I ended up looking at the fact that I got the Xbox basically for a couple of games, and nothing else has really came out to make me use my Xbox. So then I look at that and I'm like, man, I want that. I would buy a Wii U for that. But then the possibility that fucking nothing else will come out for it that I would want to play kind of still makes me hesitant to spend money on the system. But I don't know. I don't know. But we're supposed to be hearing about the possibility of a PlayStation 4 here coming out at the end of the month.
That's what
everybody's talking about. So, and people, I don't think there's any real information as to it being true, but you know, people are saying release by this year. Are you good on your consoles? Will you be ignoring that? Is that a yay or a nay? Are you even listening, you son of a bitch?
Yeah, I'm listening. I'm thinking.
I like the way it looks. I like the way the Yoshi game looks.
I'm gonna be honest with you. I don't like the Yoshi game. I'm gonna tell you why. Like when you have Yoshi's, you know, Super Mario World, Yoshi's Island.
Mm-hmm.
That game was shiznit. That game was fun.
Okay.
It's just like I don't know what this game is going to be when it's finally done, like what they're going to go with it. Like if it's going to be in the vein of, like, as far as gameplay, like Kirby's Epic Yarn. But I would have liked them just to take the core gameplay of Yoshi's Island and expand it on it, updated the graphics, and just gave us a different game, but without the crying babies. You know what I'm saying? Like, it just, this is what games are doing to me. They're taking too many of our game franchises, and not to say that Yoshi's Island was difficult by any means, but it seems like they're making the games childish. Like, they're not even making games challenging anymore. And when I see that game, I like, yeah, I love Yoshi, but at the same time, it's like, this might be a game I might pick up when it drops in price.
But all the Yoshi games are...
Yeah, but at least they're somewhat challenging. Like, okay, let me tell you something. Like, Kirby's Island is not a really hard game in an essence of itself. But when they brought out Kirby's Epic Yarn, you cannot die in that game. You literally cannot die in Kirby's Epic Yarn. That's not an exaggeration. And if they go that same way with Yoshi, that takes, like, 100% of the challenge out of the game. That's what I'm saying. That's what all these game companies are doing.
Well, okay, but, I mean, ultimately, does whether your character can die or not really matter? Because I'm assuming, regardless of whether your character die or not, the same type of thing happens. You reach, like, a checkpoint or a certain area, you'll die, you'll have to go back to that area. And essentially, isn't that every game in the world now? Except for maybe they're a little bit less into you're dead, now you have to start over. It's like, oh, you've been DR, now you have to go back. Like, what? I don't know. Am I tripping here? Am I wrong?
You gotta say, we grew up losing and starting from the beginning of not a level, the entire damn video game.
Yeah, but then, you know, the tasks in the games back then weren't really as vast as they are now. The games weren't as long and they weren't as involved. Like, even like at RPGs, like back in the day, if you wanted a long ass game, you'd play an RPG. And pretty much all games have taken that cue from the RPG of you've getting this far here. We'll just let you start from here instead of having to go all the way back like in a Mario game or some shit. You know what I'm saying? So, like, if you think about it, in an RPG, there's no real penalty for death. You know, you reload your game, you start back from where you were. So is it the fact that they're just being more blatant about it that you don't like?
I don't like it. I don't like it. Because the RPGs and platformers are two different games. A 60-hour game compared to a 3 to 4 hour game is totally different. When you got a 3 to 4 hour game, you need to make people work for that ending. You gotta make people feel like, man, when they beat that game, they've been playing for 50 years. Like when you first played Super Mario World for the Super Nintendo and stuff, and you weren't able to beat it, even they had continues and stuff on there, or even Mario 3 when it made you start from the very beginning of the world when you died. Like, you can make it to the end, the final castle of that stage, and if you lost your final life, they're taking your butt back to the very beginning, and you're doing it all over again. They made you work for your wins and for your endings and stuff. Now it's just like, oh, you died. Oh, don't worry about it. We'll start you from right here, 2 feet from victory. You know what? No, here. Why don't we just beat the game for you? Just put the controller down. You ain't got to do nothing anymore. Just watch. Metal Gear. I'm talking to you. Metal Gear!
I guess I don't see as much as an issue with it at the end of the day. But, I mean, I can understand, I guess, having a problem with it, though.
I don't. Like I said, if it's a 3 to 4 hour game, you need to make people work for that ending. Stop freaking making gamers softer than they already are. You wonder why people are soft nowadays? Video games.
Really? That's what it is?
Yeah. Oh, don't worry. We'll take care of you. What? You need to use your brain? No, don't do that.
Really?
Be careful. Whoa, what? We put something offensive in a video game. Let's put a patch in there and make it all better. Give me a big lit black person any day of the week throwing a spear.
But you know what? Yeah. One thing that is true, though, is, you know, people always want to complain. You know, people, especially with this new gun debate, people are always attacking video games. You know what I'm saying? And people in the industry, they want to constantly scream and shout, well, video games are art. Video games shouldn't be treated any different than a movie or a book should be treated when it comes to the type of content that are in the game. But anytime video game companies have an opportunity to take a stand, they end up folding. And the most recent thing would be in Splinter Cell. The new Splinter Cell, was it Blacklist that's supposed to come out?
Yeah.
I guess during the demo, there was a scene where the character, where Sam Fisher was torturing another character to get some information. Well, Ubisoft ended up taking that out of the game. And what I found interesting was, you know, recently you had the Zero Dark Thirty movie, which is basically a movie about, you know, fucking torture and getting information to capture Osama bin Laden and shit. You know what I'm saying? So, if you're trying to say that your video game, the things that happen in your game, and not necessarily to say Splinter Cell should be that game to take that stand, but if your argument is that the things that happen in your games, the seriousness of your games, the stories of your games are just as relevant, important as a book or a movie, then you need to keep that shit in your game to prove that point. Constantly folding and it doesn't help your position. It doesn't help your position. So we need somebody in the industry that's just going to say, fuck you, fuck your arguments. You know, how often have you seen a movie go back and take some shit out because of the complaints that people had about it? You know, with all the people complaining about Zero Dark Thirty and its fucking torture scenes, you didn't see them going back and editing out the torture scenes and shit. You know, because it serves a purpose. It was a full, complete... It was part of the story. It serves a purpose in the story. And I feel like if you guys taking that out on Sam Fisher, to me, it it makes the story bullshit to me now. Because it's like, well, this situation isn't that important. It isn't that fucked up that we need to have this torture scene in it. But to think that a character would go to those limits to torture somebody, to get some information, to save some lives, whether you agree or disagree with it, it holds weight to the story. You know what I'm saying?
People, you're a crybaby. What are you going to do?
I don't know.
What are you going to do?
I don't know. Dude, did you hear that the Boondocks people are trying to make an Uncle Ruckus movie? Yeah, they actually started a Kickstarter for the Uncle Ruckus movie.
Oh boy, that is gonna be a one mess.
I know that a lot of the people were mad though, because they thought, because you know they was on their Facebook and stuff. Hey, we got a new announcement about Boondocks. So everybody thought they were gonna do season 4 of the Boondocks.
Uh-huh.
But they ended up announcing that they're trying to fund an Uncle Ruckus movie.
See, now, I don't like that.
You don't like what?
I don't like the fact that they should just do a Boondocks movie in general.
I would agree with that. I would. I think that would be interesting. I think that would be a fun movie.
Because Uncle Ruckus isn't the only thing that makes that show funny. He's just a part. Everybody in that whole cartoon makes that cartoon funny. And removing even all the secondary characters and stuff, if it just focuses on Uncle Ruckus, eventually it's just going to get like, how many I hate black people, I love white people jokes can you really take in an hour and a half movie? You know what I mean? Before it just starts getting a little tad repetitive.
It kind of depends on how they play out the movie. Like, I would... To me, this would have to be a movie kind of like a fucking Forrest Gump for Uncle Ruckus. Like, telling his life from a little bigot kid all the way, you know, what made him a racist. His racism in high school, in college, and when he started working, in the neighborhood for the Freemans and shit. Like, you know, doing it like that, it makes it a little bit easier to not have the main Boondocks characters in it. But obviously, when you get to that current time, like, it wouldn't make no sense to have this game and not have Huey and it, you know, Pops and stuff in it.
Okay, interesting.
But it could be funny, though, because he's a funny motherfucker.
Yeah, it's fun. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what they do with it. It would be funny, interesting things that they do with it.
I don't know. It would be, like you said, I think I would. But you know what? The thing is, with all the controversies that the freaking cartoon got, can you imagine if they tried to actually do a movie?
Oh, I don't even care. I support it.
I would too. You know what I mean? But man, that would be a fight of the century. Like, everybody would be against that shit.
They would.
It was funny though. It was a funny ass show.
People are soft.
That's them. That's they are. All right, dude. Did you watch that freaking Taste show?
Oh, with Bourdain?
Yeah.
I'm kind of on the edge about that show. I'm not sure.
I guess I understand what they're trying to do. I just think it's stupid. Oh, you don't know who cooked this plate. So, now, I think I like the idea of that premise more during the actual cooking competition part as opposed to the choosing your team part.
Why choose a team?
Exactly, yeah, and I guess that is true, too. Like, if you don't know who you're going to kick off, what's the point of choosing teams? Yeah. I don't know. Just so you can say, oh, Anthony Bourdain's team won. Create a sense of competition.
I don't like it. I saw a couple episodes and I was like, this is really boring.
It really was. And the premises doesn't make any sense. I mean, I guess there was a couple of times where somebody didn't get picked and then they saw the chef like, oh my God, he's a popular chef from blah, 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 blah. But, I mean, I guess it helps you not pick a chef by name if he's a known person. But, I mean, who really gives a shit? Like, I don't know. I think I'll still watch it to see how it goes when they go into, like I said, the actual competition part. But The rest of it, I don't know.
It's not. It's a... I think they needed more A-holes on there. It would have been a lot better.
You talking about the...
We need a Bourdain. We need a Ramsey.
But is he really being that asshole? The episodes I've saw, he hasn't really been that bad.
That's why we need Ramsey there to kind of get us started.
Have you caught up on Top Chef yet?
Who now? Top Chef?
Yeah.
Who was the last one I saw? I think I just saw last week's, I think. Last one I saw.
He hasn't been back on there? Because I noticed he hasn't been on there since he helped judge that one season.
He has not. Well, he's got that the show that he's on right now. Plus, he has The Layover.
What's The Layover?
That's actually an outstanding show. That's where you cut out all the fluff of, what's the name of the show? No Reservations.
Mm-hmm.
He just tells you directly where to go eat. Like, go eat here. Let's eat here. Try this place. Go there. You know, kind of like Rachel Ray's $40 a day and stuff.
Huh.
Almost like that. But it's just him. And he's like, I'm over in this city for 2 days before my next flight. This is what you need to do. You need to go here, 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 here. It's pretty cool. I like it.
Where does this come on?
It comes on Mondays now. I think they're phasing out the No Reservations. I think they are. And just going to replace it with more episodes of The Layover as they come out. You can catch it on like Mondays. Yeah, try catching on Mondays. You might catch it on Mondays.
Huh. Well, I got to try to look it up on the play on.
It's not bad. I actually like it better than No Reservations. I mean, I like Reservations, No Reservations. But I actually like this better.
So all the stuff that he, as a chef, complained about with No Reservations, they just kind of took it out and just kept the meat.
Yeah. No fluff. No bunch of going around. And, oh, this is a beautiful place. It was some damn food.
Interesting.
Talk about. And I think it's called Mind of a Chef or something. And it comes on WSU Plus, I think. That's actually a pretty good show. It's not bad.
Mind of a Chef. Oh, yeah, that's the one where every season, and today they got the Asian chef, right?
Yeah.
On this season. Yep. Yeah, I like that show. That's pretty cool.
That is a nice show. That's a nice one. And I wasn't shocked, but I was kind of shocked at how good this was. Anne Burrell's show she got.
What's hers?
The one you told me to watch? What's it called? I just sat there.
Oh, yeah, the one where they they're basically cooking for the job.
That one? Something with Amber Rail, something, I forgot what it's called.
Yeah, I got to see one episode of it and I haven't really went back to it. But the one episode I saw was pretty cool.
I would give that woman props for what she does. The difference between her, which I love about her, is that you could tell she gives a damn about the people she picks to get these jobs,
mm-hmm.
because she literally helps them. It's just not just sit back and yell at them and make them feel like crap, like Ramsey and stuff would do.
Right.
Her thing is like, if she sees you messing up, she's going to jump in like, no, don't do that. Do it like this. Like, for example, this guy was making a sauce, right? He was supposed to make it based off the region of Italy he was supposed to represent. So she saw him putting butter in it. She went up and said, no, take the butter out. Put oil. Use oil. Use olive oil. Stay within the region. Like, anybody else would have just let that go and like, oh, he messed up.
Let him fail.
Right. But she's like, no, I want them, you know, if they mess up, they mess up because they messed up. I don't want them messing up because, you know, they thought something was a good idea when it really wasn't. I know that sounds weird saying that, but if you see the episodes, it makes sense.
No, I think I get what you're saying. It's like, you know, if you're in a kitchen and if I see you doing something, I'm like, yo, dude, instead of butter, it's better to use oil because we're supposed to be cooking for this region. You know, you have people that's going to assist you with that. Now, if you start cooking that food and you fuck that food up cooking or you fuck up the plating on that food, there's not really much I can do about that. When right. you know you're cooking the food, but you know when you're in the kitchen with other people, they're there to assist you and help you and say, yo, look, you know what I mean? But yeah, nah. I'll have to check it out again.
That is an awesome, awesome series. I hope that series goes for a long time. It's really, that's where she needs to be. That's where she needs to be 24/7.
She's kind of been a come up star on the Food Network here.
She's earned her way. She's earned the right to do as good as she does. Being from Iron Chef to whatever other show that she was doing. Yeah.
Did you see the Ming with Morimoto?
No, Morimoto.
Those episodes are so freaking cool.
He's so full of energy.
I know. He's funny as shit, too. Like, he's weird.
Dude, we got to hang out with him one day. We got to go to his restaurant.
One day.
Philadelphia. Go up in there. Pittsburgh. Wherever it is. Philadelphia, isn't it? Philadelphia.
I think he has one in Philly, but I think he opened a new restaurant. I want to say, like, out west somewhere, and he's out there now, though.
I've got to find him. Like, yo, Morimoto. Got to hang out with his man. Do this.
I don't know. He would be cool. I would like to hang out with Ming Tsai, too. Ming Tsai seems like a cool guy.
Yeah, he does. I like to hang out with him. I like to hang out with Amber. It would be kind of fun to hang out with her.
I want to hang out with Josie.
Energy. Who?
Josie.
No. No, I done lost my shit. I can hang out with Stefan. See how many lesbians you can convert over in a one-night span.
Is he still on the show?
Yeah, last time I checked, he was still on there, yeah.
All right, I need to catch up on that. He's my plan on been acting stupid lately, man, so.
So, it looks pretty... season wasn't all that great, but what are you going to do? The Top Chef is starting to get more thin.
I think they need some new twists.
They need Top Chef teams.
That would be kind of cool.
They need to get just groups of two. Every competition, you get like 14 groups of two. And everything you do is team. You present one dish as a team.
That could be interesting.
Maybe, you know, there'll be certain benefits and penalties for other people who win and lose challenges. And I think it'll make it great.
But they do need some changes, though. I do agree. They do need some. They need something fresh, some fresh ideas. And I don't know. We'll see. Maybe these upcoming scenes, they'll think of some fresh stuff to put on there. I need to catch up on my Chopped.
I haven't watched Chopped in a long time. I got tired of that.
I like it. I still like it. I think about it every now and then. I think one of my favorite TV moments happened on Chopped.
What are we talking about?
It was the Asian guy, and I think it was a white girl who was like from Europe somewhere, and she was there trying to win money to go see her mom who was sick and dying, and you know, and the Asian guy ended up winning, and he offered basically to pay for her plane ticket to go see her mom out of his winnings.
That is.
So that was pretty freaking.
The judges start crying. Like, oh god.
There was some emotion and greatness in that room that day. It was a good episode, and he was a dope chef too, though. So you know, to have that amount of talent and that amount of just, you know, humility and just, you know, he seemed like he was a really great guy, and to do something like that was a really great gesture, you know. So that was pretty awesome. One of my favorite moments of all time. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, the Asians.
Yes, the Asians do. They go in. Anything else, sir, before we call this one a giddity go?
Well, let's see. Oh, let's finish up the Nintendo Wii U announcement.
Oh, go. Boom, bam, pow.
I got them quick. Shin Megami Tensei X Cross Fire Emblem.
Wait. Is this a fighting game? Or...
I don't know what this was supposed to be. I couldn't really tell from the screenshots. I think it's a regular crossover. Like, you know, the Crossblade and all that other crap that came out? The Cross Edge, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Cross Edge.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's in the vein of that. It might be a fighting game. I'm not sure. Because Lord knows what I saw, because it's been like a intro trailer and not the actual gameplay. Mm. That like it might be. I mean, if you're a Fire Emblem, which I'm not a fan of either game. But depending on what it ends up being, I do like fighting games, and I do like RPGs, so if it is a father either one of those, it might end up being a pickup. Let's see. Plus, we got the new Well, people are calling it Xenoblade 2, but we don't know what it's really called. See, the Zelda. I'm sure I spoke about that. The graphics look really good on the Zelda game, though. I do like that. It looks like claymation. Like, really good claymation. Like, they got rid of the cel shading. It looks really nice. I like it.
I didn't see that.
I mean,
I didn't even know they had pictures from it.
Yeah, hold on a second.
Look that up while you're going through that.
Picture. Hold on a second.
Now, I know they're going to do a Zelda Wind Waker remake for the Wii.
Yeah, that's the one, the Wind Waker one. That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, the Wind. Okay, you're talking about the Wind Waker upgrade.
Yeah, it looks like the graphics don't look as, you know what I mean, cel shady as the original. To me, it looked a little more. Yeah, okay, I got a picture right here of him, of Link. It does look more like claymation. It really looks like claymation to me. Huh. It doesn't have those really dark, bold black lines.
Let's see if I can
on the outline of the bodies and stuff. It just looks really good. Looks nice. I like it. It looks nice.
Hey, did they talk about any new Super Smash Bros. Stuff?
Oh, yes.
They did.
We are getting a new Super Smash Bros. For the Wii U. And it's, who's working on it? Namco Bandai is working on that. So that means we might see some Namco Bandai characters that might get crossed over into the Super Smash Bros.
That could be interesting. So we could see the little kid from Ni No Kuni.
You never know. You never know. Actually, to be quite honest with you, you never know. Just knowing Nintendo, they might. Cause I don't see why they wouldn't. You know what I mean? If you know, cause we had what's the guy's name? Snake.
Yes.
And he technically wasn't even a Nintendo exclusive character. He made into the game. So who's to say we won't have somebody from Tekken or Soul Calibur or something might make an appearance on there? You know what I mean? So I think it'd be cool to see Yoshimitsu from Tekken on there. Like, he'd match.
I don't know. It'll be interesting. You know, I haven't really been interested so much in Super Smash Bros. But if they could do something fresh with this one, I'll be all over it, maybe. That could be one of the ones that I buy. If I was to get a Wii U.
If.
But I don't know why they're so easy to ignore Metal Gear, like, or not Metal Gear, but Metroid. I don't know. Like, is that not, like, do you think that's not one of the franchises that people really care about from Nintendo?
I think Nintendo, because you remember, they didn't really say nothing about the new Zelda either. The thing is, because I got that new Zelda, not the remake, but the actual new Zelda.
Mm-hmm.
I think, hear me out, I think it's what they're going to do. We're almost at our next E3 for this year. We're like, what, a few months away, 4 or 5 months away?
Mm-hmm.
I think they're going to hold out. They might as well. They're going to give us, I think this is exactly what they're going to do. They're going to have more footage of the new Zelda. They're going to push the new Xeno game. They may even have a title for that. We're going to see some Super Smash Brothers stuff, more of the Yoshi stuff. I think they're going to show definitely some Metroid. They're going to show some of the new Zelda and the Mario. They're going to show some new Mario. I think Nintendo, I know I'm being optimistic, I think they're going to hit it out the park this year. If they just show us we don't care about third-party stuff. We don't care about stuff that's going to be on the 360 or the PS3 or the PS4 and stuff.
Right.
Give us what you're bringing out for your console as an exclusives. Show us the Mario. Show us the Zelda. Show us the Pikmins, the other games. Show us where's F-Zero.
Right. You know, I was looking at some 64 games and all this shit, and I was looking like, oh, fuck, F-Zero. That could be, especially with, like, people have been going crazy over these Wipeout games for Sony. You know, when the Wipeout came on the PSN, it was like, oh, shit, Wipeout. When they announced Wipeout for the Vita, you know, people were all excited for that shit. So, I mean, imagine if they brought back F-Zero. That could be a killer, man. I don't know. And, like, man. And you would think, like, okay, Pikmin. I mean, Pikmin's cool and all, and obviously it has a following. But of all the things to really, or like, what's the other game with the little people that run around? Animal, whatever, Animal Crossing. Like, come on. Like, you don't give no real love to Metroid. You just completely abandon F-Zero. Like, I don't know, yo. I don't know. Sometimes Nintendo, they just make you wonder. But Taco. They could. Go ahead. Sorry. I mean, they could come out. I mean, I don't know. I can't say I agree with you. But it would be cool if they really took a hold of this E3 and just smashed it and just showed, like, some ill shit. Like, I would love to see a Metroid game using these real super-duper graphics that we can get now from these systems and shit.
2D platformer, please. We don't want the other M stuff.
Well, Other M was like that 2D, 3D mix.
Oh, we don't want that. Just give us a 2D side-scrolling platformer. Take Samus back to her roots. Please.
And even that, like, I don't understand. Like, you could have did something like that real easy just to keep Metroid alive, you know, in between coming up with ideas for a big, big Metroid release. You know what I'm saying? So, I don't know. Like, it would be sweet if they did a HD remake of Super Metroid.
Oh, that game was freaking awesome. I think that was the greatest Metroid I think I've played to date.
I think that was easily one of the it's got to rank top 10 best games ever made.
Yeah, right now it is. Yeah, I don't think there's been that's probably one of the top 10. That and I don't know. The rest can be debatable, but I think Metroid is always going to be on everybody's list for up in the top 10 games.
Like, I would think
that game is fucking awesome.
For me, like, off, just no debate, I think would be Super Metroid, Legend of Zelda, A Link to the Past, and Contra Alien Wars.
I mean, that game was hard.
It was, but it was so freaking sweet. Like, and those were the games, like, as long as Zelda was, you could play that shit over and over. Metroid, you play it over and over and over. Contra, over and over again. Like, you just... Even the games now that come out that are super great, like the Uncharted games, some of the greatest games ever made. But once I beat it, I don't really have to feel the need to go back and play it over and over again. A lot of the games this generation need multiplayer because the single player isn't something that you're going to go back and constantly play over and over again unless you're trying to get those achievements and collectibles and shit. Like, they just don't have that same feeling that, like, Contra did, that, you know, Metroid had, that, I don't know, it's interesting.
I concur.
Contra
4 was freaking awesome though too.
I still haven't played that. I'm about to try.
That game is brutal.
I'm actually I did play it. I remember I played it on your system a couple times, but I haven't played all the way through it. But yeah, just a little bit I played was very difficult.
Yeah, no, that's plus we have Monster Hunter. Don't forget the people.
Ooh, Vita. That's coming out for Vita.
Yes, Vita is getting a Monster Hunter. So Wii U is getting a Monster Hunter. 3DS is getting... Which, for some reason, they decided to make that online. I don't know what they were thinking with that. But they're getting a Monster Hunter regardless. PS3 has a Monster Hunter in Japan right now. If y'all can do Make Operation Rainfall happen... Y'all need to make Operation Monster Hunter Storm something happen for PS3 owners. There's no reason why almost every single platform is getting a Monster Hunter but the PS3. At least in America, we're not getting it. So far, I don't know if that's gonna be. I don't know if they're gonna eventually say, let's throw the goddamn PS3 people a bone and give them Monster Hunter, but I'm getting mine fresh off the boat. So I will be playing Monster Hunter.
First of all, that was racist.
I am, boy. It's gonna be all black and tarred up. It's gonna be wearing a little paper sack.
You know, I really can't call it. I don't know if it's just based off of the fact that they don't think there's no demand for Monster Hunter on the PS3. And I know it makes sense to put it on the Vita because Monster Hunter was a system seller for PSP. So I guess it makes sense to put it on the Vita to try and push the Vita. But I don't know, man. I don't know.
Oh, Monster Hunter, I love you. I want to have your babies. Oh, man, that game's going to be freaking awesome.
We'll see about that. Did you even play the one that they had, the Monster Hunter Tri?
No. Oh, I'm so glad I didn't buy that.
Why?
They're shutting down the service for that next month.
Oh, are they?
April. Because they're trying to get everybody to go ahead and switch over to the other one.
To the new one? Oh, that's right. That's
you good. Might as well. I mean, you know what I mean?
I mean, it could be worth it just to play like a single player run through if you can get it for cheap.
Well, I mean, but the new one's coming out next month, though.
Oh, well, yeah, I guess. Yeah.
By the time I even get the single player run through, it'll be time to go ahead and hop on over. I'm trying to have Zelda done by then. By next month. And then we'll start moving on to the last story. A little bit of Monster Hunter in between that. Then I'm going to end up having to buckle down and get on Xenoblade because I'm getting that here this month, too.
Interesting. Oh, man, I don't know. Anything else going on here in the world
that
or anything?
I think that's it for this one dry episode. We hit everything.
Yes, we did. Well, this has been BattleClubGaming.com. My name is... What's my name?
Ooh, me as in me or me as in you?
Wait, who are you?
I am Yael.
My name is Stokata. And we are going to...
Well, I sent you what you should have been playing from the very get-go.
What you should have been playing from the very
get-go. You need to play this.
You need to play this here.
Okay. And this is in commemoration of Nintendo Wii U for giving us all these great games for us Wii U owners to be excited about. To actually feel like we're happy to own the system finally.
Finally.
You know, Mario's not going to carry us that much longer.
He won't.
You know, we got Monster Hunter next month that's going to hold us over for a little bit.
A little bit.
Hopefully that'll hold us over long enough for some of these other great games to drop.
Like what?
It shouldn't take them that long to get that Zelda game out, I don't think.
Zelda sucks.
And, let's see. Hopefully we'll hear something about some freaking... Hey, God damn it, Konami. Seriously?
Konami?
Seriously, what? I know you're having financial troubles and all that, but can we get one more Contra? Just one? Just give us one more Contra.
I mean, they teased it. They teased it, so it's out there.
What, you mean the letter C?
It's out there.
Just give it to us. God damn it. That was like, what, 3 years ago? 5 years ago?
Just about. It was a while ago.
Jesus Christ. Where's Gradius? Come on, people. Konami. Really? 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 It's not hard to make a 2B running gun? I know you're running out of ideas.
I think maybe, because we talked about this, maybe they are trying to bring us something new. You know? Instead of the same old bullshit, they're trying to bring us that real deal Holyfield.
Hey, as long as it has Contra on it, it has my support.
Now, what I think is going to end up happening is we're going to get a Contra fighting game, 2D fighter. And that'll be what Contra turns into, a 2D fighter game. Like Street Fighter.
That's going to be terrible.
You heard it here. Huh?
One shot hit.
You heard it here first. Ah. BattleClubGaming.com. Motherfucking Boom Podcast. Next Contra Game 2D Fighter. outro music. Was that?
Yes, Nintendo. That's dedicated to you, Nintendo. I love you. Bring F-Zero back, damn it.
Sounded like some gay club music.
Because we want F-Zero back. We want Captain Falcon and his car. Not punching motherfucking characters.
It's never going to happen, man.
It's never going to happen.
I like him Super Smash Brothers, but we need him back in his vehicle.
Well, this is Battle Club Gaming. Go check out a new BCG Storytellers hooked up by the homie Guy and Nick Cod aboard the box. If you're the winner of stuff, hit us up so we can get you your stuff. Go sign up at BattleClubGaming.com. Sign up at the PlayStationShow.com. Sign up at the BZT Battlefield Zero Tolerance podcast at the EngineWebsite.com. I'm sorry, I don't know the fucking website. God damn it. I don't know. Damn it. But sign up there. And follow him on Twitter at the BZT Podcast. Shit. Shout out to everybody who does stuff. Shout out to Stella King for getting it moving. Shout out to Redfield for hanging out with us and all her buddies. Shout out to Yayizzle.
Oh, you know what? We forgot something.
What?
Holy hell. We'll make it up to him next podcast.
What do we forget?
These Sonic's questions.
Oh, hey, shit, let's do it. Fuck.
You want to throw a minute? You want to do it real quick? It shouldn't take that long.
Let's go. Fuck this shit. Go.
Okay. No, I can remember off the top of my head. Number one, he wanted to know, give us some quick tips on Final Fantasy VI and Final Fantasy IX.
Some quick tips on VI and
IX? He's a new owner of Final Fantasy VI and Final Fantasy IX. And since you're a Final Fantasy IX fan and I'm VI, what are some quick tips for Final Fantasy IX? Things that he should know that he needs to do so he won't have to do two playthroughs. Make his life a little easier in Final Fantasy IX.
You know, Final Fantasy IX is fairly straightforward. Go to the swamp, make sure you get your queen a character. But everybody else just really falls in place. Yeah, if you played Final Fantasy XII, the way the characters, it's very similar to that, how the characters come into play. They're not really as random as most Final Fantasy games. They're very much all mixed into the storyline. So as far as, like, you're not really going to miss any characters. I don't know. Tips? Just have fun? I don't know. I don't know, man. I don't know. And, you know, recently just playing it, so I'm fresh off of it. But, no, I really don't have any tips. I'm sorry.
All right. Final Fantasy VI. Again, Final Fantasy VI is a really kind of straightforward thing, too. It doesn't really focus on job classes as far as being able to expand on them. Like, each person being able to learn different skills as far as, oh, you could be a ninja, then a wizard. Everybody has their own set job class. It just kind of feels like how you want to play. My party was always considered of Sien because of his sword skills, Sabin because of his blitz attacks, and whichever two party members were like Mog and whoever else I felt like doing. Because Mog had the dance, which I just fucking love that. But, okay, number one, Shadow the Ninja. Okay, when you get to the floating continent, I'm not going to spoil too much, but once the clock starts to tick and you can jump on the airship, don't do it, D-Sonic. You hear me? Wait for Shadow. It's the only hint I'm going to give you for that one. And don't worry about trying to master all Sien's sword techniques, because in the second half of the game, if you do a certain scenario with him, and unlocks all the sword techniques automatically, so you don't have to learn them by leveling up. That's another good thing about it. Oh yeah, you can also don't forget, don't let Mog die. He's another character that you cannot get in the game, so make sure you get him at one point in the game. So keep your eye out for him. And he's in Narsh. Let me get a hint on that one. There's a lot I can get on. I can just do a whole bunch of stuff. But those are just a few tips. Level your characters up. Learn the spells. Have fun.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like I got to do better now after you gave him that. But there's really not... I'm trying to think. I mean... shit. I mean, other than, like I said, Quina, who I think may be an optional character... I don't know. I guess maybe in 9, the only thing would be different events. Like, there's certain things that you can do to collect stuff. Like, if you're really, like, an RPG collector, like, when you go to Alexandria, you'll see these little girls playing jump rope. And you can get, like, because there's a card game in the game. And you can get special cards from doing stuff. Like, you can jump the rope. And if you do it a certain amount of times correctly without messing up, you'll get a special card. So if you're into that type of stuff, you know, at certain points in the game, that stuff will be unavailable to you, maybe because of events in the game or something. So if you're that type of player and you come across these things, just try to get them done as soon as you can so you don't accidentally reach the point where you can't go back and do it again. I didn't really play the card game that much, but there's like a card tournament later on in the game. So again, if you're interested in that type of shit, I would play a lot of the cards to really learn the game and try to collect some of the best cards that you can get and really try to create like a master deck. But everything else, man, I don't know. I mean, character wise, you really can't go wrong with any of the characters. That's it. And just don't, you know, just play and just have fun. Fuck. Next question. Anything else?
And finally, our thoughts on Ni No Kuni, which we already kind of talked about that. But if there's anything else you want, is there anything else you'd like to learn about Ni No Kuni?
No, I love it. I played the demo. As soon as I started the demo, I was like, oh, fuck, I have to get this game, man. And even a lot of people have been writing their reviews for them, and a lot of them have been kind of negative on it. But honestly, it was one of those reviews where as I was reading the reviews and the negative things they had to say about the game, it was stuff that I was like, oh, that sounds cool. I want to do that. So even the negative reviews made me want to play more. So Ni No Kuni, it's a must-buy. It's going to be got as soon as I'm done with White Knight Chronicles 2 and Far Cry and what should call it, Darksiders. Ni No Kuni's next up on the mix, so... You know, maybe once we are you going? You're getting Ni No, right?
Yeah, I'm gonna get Ni No Kuni. I think, man, I think Ni No Kuni is gonna be after. You know what? I think I'm gonna do Ni No Kuni after I play the last story, so I can kind of give the Wii a break. Then I think I'm gonna do Ni No Kuni. Then I'm gonna go back to Xenoblade. Xenoblade's gonna be after Ni No Kuni. I do know that though.
So it'll be cool. Maybe after we. Everybody finishes Ni No Kuni, we can do like a Ni No Kuni special cast or something. Because yeah. It seems the RPG world, it seems to be like that. This is the one that everybody's been waiting for. So I think it deserves some special attention.
And you know what kills me? People, they can criticize and they can get bad reviews or stuff like that. But come on. Come on. There have been worse games out there that put no effort in their games that these goddamn companies are giving 9s and 10s. Not every Call of Duty is a 9 out of 10, 9.5 out of 10.
Apparently it is.
You can't run straight, and until somebody gives you something different that doesn't have a fucking $5 million budget, oh my god, the graphics are, shut up.
It's a beautiful looking game, though. Like, I love the graphics.
Exactly, it does look great. I do love it. I love the artwork on that game.
I love
that. That's what kind of got me into it. I was like, that's a nice looking game.
It just looks like so bright, and you know what I mean? Like, you don't really get that in games anymore. Everything's dark and just unhappy and just, you know, but to get this real brightness, and it just looks fun and interesting, and it looks like a pure just fantasy adventure to get into and just have fun with.
It's a pickup. It's must buy.
Let's see. I don't think I got any questions from Twitter.
No. And Persona 4 Gold, last Persona played that game was number 3. It was okay. I'm not a huge Persona fan, so I don't know much about it. I'll look into it and I'll get back to you on the next one, D-Sonics. Scott, anything on Persona 4?
I've not ever really been a fan. I don't dislike Persona, but I've never really been a fan of it. Never. It's not one of those titles that comes out and I'm like, oh shit, Persona. So I can't really get into that one.
There you go, D-Sonic.
Mr. Sonic.
And something special for you, D-Sonic. The train will not choo-choo in Final Fantasy VI anymore if you give it life. Boom. And I am not joking about that. I mean, literally, think about that when I'm telling you. The train will not choo-choo.
Will not choo-choo.
If you give it life.
If you give it life.
Anybody that's played Final Fantasy VI knows exactly what I'm talking about right now.
Well, there it is. D-Sonic got his own section on the Boom Podcast with his questions. If you have questions, hit us up at Boom Podcast on Twitter. Or you can send it to Yayizzle, Orochikin. On the PS3, Staccata on the PS3, boompodcast@gmail.com. And we will happily answer your questions. So this has been the Boom Podcast. Peace, yo.
Good day.